Praise God. Thank you, Tabernacle Baptist Church, again, for allowing me to stand before you. Thank you to the deacons for their graciousness. Thank you for this ensemble behind me, that they are just great. They are just great. A special thanks to the media ministry. Although they were struggling today, look like we back up. But if we not up, God is still in the house. God is still in the house. I remember a time when we didn't worry about these type of things. We just went on and had church. We got dressed. We came out of church. We was feeling kind of churchy. So we just went on and had church. So that's what we're going to do today, regardless whether it's up or whether it's down, if the mic go out. I know I can scream loud enough. We just going to have church today. Praise God. Praise God. For all the ministries in the house, I bless you, you know, for continuing through our struggles. To the ushers, everybody that's in the house, that's working in the house, God bless you. God bless you. Before we go on any further, just want to have just a moment of prayer, and we're going to go head on to the throne. Even now, Lord, even now. Lord, I ask you right now to bless me to articulate your word so every ear and every heart in this house will hear you speaking to them and understand what you have sent me to do. Lord, I need your spirit. I prepare to the best of my ability. I need your power. Please, please, Lord, send a fresh wind and a fresh anointing. Remove me right now, Lord, and stand up in me. In the precious name of Jesus, I do pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, as you are my strength and my redeemer. God bless you. God bless you. Only God can make a day. Only God can make a day. And if he gives you that day, he will surely give you the bread that you need for that day. Today, our scripture is coming from Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. And if you don't mind standing for the reading of the word. God bless you. God bless you. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. You may be seated. The title is, But He Did. But He Did. You may say that this might be a Christmas sermon because of the scripture, or maybe an Easter sermon because the Lord was born and he died and rose. But I just believe that Jesus came so that we could not only celebrate his birth, death, and resurrection on one day. You know, we got to celebrate God more than one day. Not just that one day, not hold yourself to one scripture, now hold yourself to one song, and you don't want to sing Joy to the World in the summertime, but you still need to sing Joy to the World in the summertime. But I believe, this is what I believe. I believe that he came for you every day of my life and every day of your life. I just believe that. I don't believe it was just for one or two days. I don't believe that he went to the cross and died for our sins for just a day. I believe that he came for us on a Sunday. I believe that he came for us on a Monday. I believe that he came for us on a Tuesday. Somebody might have had a bad Wednesday, but I do believe that he came for us on a Wednesday. Amen. Somebody might have had a bad Thursday, but he did come for you on Thursday. And he came for you on Friday, and even on a Saturday night. And I do believe that he came for us on this Sunday morning. And so we're not going to hold to one scripture and say, well, that's a Christmas scripture. No, this is a scripture that was breathed by God, and we're just going to celebrate that day. Amen. I just believe that. Yeah. And like Reverend Melvin Jackson would say, can I get a witness? Amen. Can I get a witness that God came for every day of our life? So this may be my last chance. I don't know. We don't know. We just don't know. So I'm just going to go ahead on and preach it. I'm just going to go ahead on and preach it. So just remember, the title is, But He Did. But He Did. But He Did. Say it again, But He Did. All right, praise God. Christ Jesus, being the in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He did not have to do that, but he did. So the word of God became human. So that means that Jesus became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love. He was full of faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. God became a human through his Son, Jesus, the sovereign elected to become a servant. The eternal showed up in time and in space. He did not have to do that, but he did. For him to simply come our way should have been enough, you would think. Just to come our way. You know, sometimes you get a visitor that you might not even thought would have come to see you in the hospital. But they did. And so you say, well, that was just enough. Thank God, I wasn't expecting that. So for Jesus just to show up, you know, we say, well, that would have been enough. To simply know that our Lord God was not detached nor disinterested, you would think that would be enough. But that alone was not enough. More than a passing view of himself was necessary. God allowed Moses to see the backside of him. But the Lord wanted something more. He wanted something other than a swift entry and a quick exit. This dispensation called for more. It called for an inhabitation. It called for residency. It called for tabernacling. It called for a flesh and blood involvement. Not for a little while and not for a long time, but for 33 years. 33 years. Long enough to move from a helpless infant, long enough to mature into adulthood, and long enough to make a permanent stamp on humankind. Long enough to show us who God really is. That he came in the flesh is not enough to warm the hearts. That he came in the flesh is enough to warm the hearts of the youth, to encourage mature spirits, and to send the elderly to their graves in peace. I remember my aunt Bertie. She raised me along with everybody. You know, back in the day, everybody raised you. It wasn't just, you know, your parents or whatever, but everybody raised you. And if you got out of line, everybody could correct you and get you back in line. And she was a deaconess in the church. And she was really, really a devoted person to the church, to Jesus Christ. And I remember when she had got really, really sick and really old, and There's only a few people allowed to call me Robbo. And she said, Robbo, and I was trying to help her. She said, Robbo, I remember when I used to do this for you, and now you doing it for me. But when she closed her eyes in sleep in the hospital, we had a big old sweep because everybody was there. And she said she wanted a big boy, so we went and got her a big boy. That's one of our things back then. And when she closed her eyes in sleep, I knew where she was going. And she knew where she was going. So by Jesus coming and his life that he showed us, when we get ready to leave here, we should be at peace.
That's right.
Knowing where we going, knowing what's on the other side. We're going to meet Jesus. We're going to meet Jesus. You can't, if you in Christ Jesus, you can't be afraid of death. You cannot be, because the Bible says, amen, to live for God is gain.
Yes, sir.
To die for God is gain. You know, either way it goes, we win it. We got the big W. Either way it goes, if you in Christ and you working for the Lord, that's a win. That's a win.
Amen.
If you leave here in Christ, that's a big win.
Amen.
That's a big win. So we got to be able to understand that salvation is important for life and for death. We got to be able to understand that we need to teach. We need to pray. We need to go to the street and get people back in the church, because Jesus is coming back, and that's for real. Whether you believe it or not, he's coming back. Whether you believe what's in the word, it don't matter, because it's true. It don't matter. It don't matter. He went far beyond incarnation. He went far beyond enfleshment. He did more. He did much more. He could have just kept on a royal robe. You know, he did much more than that. Than replace it, he replaced that royal robe with humanity. You can't lead someplace, you can't follow somebody that has not been there. A leader has to be a leader because they know how to lead, and not only know how to lead, but they have walked in some of these footsteps that people behind you got to come through. You can't counsel people on certain situations if you've never been in that situation. You cannot say, well, I know what you're going through, when you don't. Don't say that. Don't say you know what they're going through if you don't. If you know somebody that might know what they're going through, send them to that person. Because you really don't know. You really don't know. So in order to be a leader, you got to be able to understand the congregation, understand the people. You just got to be able to lead the way the Lord would lead.
That's right.
We follow the Lord's footsteps. We follow the Lord's footsteps. And that's what's most important. That's what's most important. Now, when Jesus came, he came by way of the back door. He came through the back door. And I want to talk about the back door for a little while. There was a time that coming in the back door was a bad thing for us. There was a time that the only way you could get through a door was through the back door. There was a time where it pained us to use the back door. There was a time when a lot of doors we could not even go in. But we now have a Savior that came to save us from our sins, the God, The God that created the heavens and the earth. The God that created the sky and the sea. The God that created the moon and the stars and every living thing. The God that who is omnipotent. The God who is omniscient. The God who is omnipresent. The God who is in his divinity. In his divinity came through the back door. See, this happened while certain Greeks was up in the library exploring philosophy, and Romans was trying to conquer the world, and those of the Hebrew faith were perverting their religion. God was able to come through the back door while they was not paying attention. See, they was expecting the Messiah to come as a king with a crown and a robe and an army, coming with power and majesty to take over and rule as in war. Like they just said, this is war. That's what they was expecting Jesus to come as. But he didn't come like that. He came as a baby. He came as a baby. He didn't even stay at, what's that hotel downtown? The Marriott of the Crown. He didn't even stay there. He went and found some stables and got up in a cave somewhere, and that's where he stayed because there was no room at the inn. He could have came in all that glory. Y'all remember how the father came in, coming to America, where he got out the car and they put rose petals all on the ground and everything. So he could have came like that. But he didn't. He came to save us from our sins through the back door while nobody was looking, as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's how he came. That's how he came. He didn't have to come like that. He didn't, but he did. He did not have to come like that, but he did. Why go through the back door? Why Nazareth and Bethlehem? Why Joseph and Mary? He was already King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was the Son of the Father. He was part of the Trinity. He could have stopped Herod. Stopped him from trying to kill all the little toddler boys, because he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He had all power then as he came, as a baby. He didn't have to be born in a cave. He didn't have to wear swaddling clothes, because remember, he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Fine robes would not have been a problem for him. He did not have to do it, but he did. However we look at it, looking at it from this viewpoint, from where we sit over 2,000 years later, we are really not the right persons to pass judgment on why he did what he did. But I'm always so curious to know, why, Lord, why? Sovereign God did over 2,000 years. What he did was, it was kind of like, you know, I like a lot of action movies and shoot 'em ups and stuff like that. And you know how SWAT, they always send somebody to the back door. You cover the back, you know. And then they be talking to the people from the front. And while they talking to the people from the front, the ones in the back slide in.
That's right.
You know. They just slide in. I believe Jesus just slid in. Just slid in. While everything else had people's attention, he just slid in. That is the real reason for our praise this morning. Since we are the recipients of God's grace, to be the beneficiary of God's love, beneficiaries of something that we do not even deserve. He came in the back door for something we don't even deserve. To receive favor that we have not earned. To receive grace that's not warranted. When I consider his marvelous grace, I have to tell him, God, you did not have to do it. You did not have to do it, but you did. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad that you did that. I'm glad that you came. Well, God says, I came to the world by way of the back door, both by choice and constraint. He says, I willed it that way. I wanted to, and I had to. And I wanted to because I had to. And I, because I wanted to, I had to. I'm like, what? He said, I willed it that way. I had to because I am supreme. I am the invisible image of the invisible God who existed before anything. I was created and I am supreme over all creation. For me, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created for me and for him. I existed before anything else, and I hold all creation together. I am the head of the church, which is my body. I am the beginning, the supreme over all who rise from the dead. I am the first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in me. And through me, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and the earth by means of my blood on the cross. My rear door arrival was in agreement with my will. Every rear door entry is not a bad entry. Amen. You wanted to know why I did it. I did it because I had to, and I did it because I wanted to. And because I wanted to, I had to. And you had to because you wanted to. And all I can say is, Lord, I thank you for wanting to. Lord, I thank you for wanting to. Because if you did not want to, I wouldn't be here today. And I thank you for feeling like you had to. Because if you didn't feel like you had to, some of us would have never came to Christ. Lord, I thank you for wanting to, and I thank you for feeling like you had to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there were doors available. Why the rear door entry? There were plenty front door, side doors, diagonal doors, all kind of doors, round doors. But why the rear door? That's the approach like a thief in the night. Why would Jesus come through the back door? Why Nazareth and Bethlehem when there was Athens and Rome? You know, why Dayton when you could go to the suburbs? Put it like that. Why you want to come to Dayton when you could go to the suburbs? I don't know if these are the real ones because I'm not from here. West Carrollton and Kettering and different places. But I could say if I was at home, why Cincinnati when you could come to Indian Hill? Why Cincinnati when you could go to Silverton? Why would you come here when you could have went there? Why Jerusalem? And why Joseph and Mary? When people of importance, many people of importance, dwells in the chief cities, why a barn? Why swaddling clothes? Why an ox crib? Why this backdoor entry to a place of our dwelling? He came by way of the rear door to invade and to strike those who were with arrogant power. This was not an expectation. They didn't expect the Messiah to come through the back door. The craving for power, you know, they was in so much power that they figured that the Messiah came, he was going to have more power than them. So they was expecting somebody to come with more power than what they had, what they thought they had. The craving for power is in all levels of life. I've witnessed it. I've worked in factories. I've witnessed the foreman and the line people trying to get more power to get a couple more pennies on the hour of wages. I've witnessed it with supervisors and offices, people with all kinds of uniforms, church leaders with various titles, and even receptionists and people that open up to close the doors. I've witnessed it. They get a little power, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous what they can do and what they think they can do and what they say and how they act with just a little power. If you know anything about Lord Acton, he said that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. Just a little bit of power. But a man wiser than him, by the name of Paul, said, a man wiser than he wrote, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Because the ultimate foolishness of power is that a person that possesses it have a tendency to try to play God. To try to play God. Dominant power is when God came through the back door with Athens at its height of power, Rome at the pinnacle of military power, and Jerusalem at the a citadel of their power in religion. Each one of them corrupted to the core. Corrupted to the core. And in coming through the back door, he avoided them and attacked them at the same time. He refused to let that evil share in his plans. See, God already had plans for him. Already had, before he got to the cave, God already had plans for Jesus, and Jesus knew what the plans were, and like he said, I had to because I wanted to, and I wanted to because I had to. And by avoiding these perverted people of power, he shook them from the center to the edge, and they didn't even know they was being shook. Herod trembled, Jerusalem shook, Rome quaked, and a signal was sent all the way to Athens that they were under judgment. In every sense, the word has gone out through all the land, not just the United States, through all the earth. People say that they're not Christians, they don't believe in God, but they know about it. You cannot not believe in something that you don't already know about. So in order for you to say, I don't believe in it, you already know about it. So his name, his power has gone all over this earth. And people, we at war here and there. And most of them are about religion. Whether you can do this or whether you can do that. Most of them are about religion. And of his Christ and of his kingdom, there shall be no end for the Almighty God. So when he came, his name, Jesus the Christ, there shall be no end through all the world. Through all the world. I don't care how bad you think it looks here or how bad the TV make you look like it look over there. They still know his name. they still know his name. He who is all power came by through the rear door to circumvent the foolishness, strike at the arrogance of power. Jesus came that way for another reason, because that was the only door that would welcome him. That was the only door that would welcome him. The Trinity in beggar's apparel. Although a king, Jesus would not get a warm welcome coming through the front door. No welcome at the front door of a sinful humanity. Herod was the member of the front door crowd. As soon as he heard of Jesus' birth, he pursued to kill him. As I explained earlier, the absence of the front door hospitality in this land was remote. It was gone. It was a shameful period when certain of us, on account of color, we were considered fit for only the back door. Whenever and wherever one's personhood is ignored, and whenever and wherever the front door or the back door syndrome is alive and active, it is interesting to see that those who are regaliated to the back door status are the most instance, the ones that are more loving and more caring, who work at the back door, who try to be more sympathetic to those that's coming through the back door.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you had to come through the back door to work and to live and to earn, for those that's coming through the back door behind you, you have to be more merciful and kind to them.
Amen.
Even in the back door situation, you got to be able to pull somebody with you. Even coming through the back door.
Yes, you do. That's right.
And here we are now, able to go through the front door, the side door, come down through the ceiling, and we won't bring nobody with us.
Wow.
We won't bring nobody with us. We have to open up the door and bring at least one person with you. Bring at least one person with you. See, back in the day, they went ahead, hobos and everything, people that was had no homes. You could go to the back door, and you knew it was somebody that was working in that kitchen that would give you a meal, because they understood where you coming from. But now we got refugees that can come into this country and get set up with a house and furniture and clothes and what they need for a whole year, rent for a year, a car, everything they need for their family, a business, and all that. And then we still got people that's living in the street under cardboard boxes and in tents. I don't understand this type of front door, back door ministry that's going on. I just don't understand it. Because if you had the power to do it for the refugees, you had the same power to do it for the ones that's still on the street. You got the same power. If you can find in 24 hours, they can set up a whole household for people. And in 24 years, you can't get one person off the street. And this is not where I was going this morning. This is not, but Lord, you in control. You in control of this situation. I just got to keep rolling, because this is not. But God's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to do what he's going to do. Even working in some establishments, you weren't welcome through the front door. You weren't welcome through the front door. You had to come through the back door. Come through the back door to get to the front door, to open the front door for somebody else to come through the front door.
Yep.
Jesus came by way of the back door because that's the location of most of his children, backdoor dwellers. Everywhere throughout my father's world, most of his children are at the back door. Many are hungry and dying of malnutrition. Many are marginalized for this reason. Many are crying for a taste of freedom. Some are living fairly well and still struggling to hold on to what they have. And in this economy right now, you have to figure out, am I going to get my medicine or am I going to get grocery? Am I going to get gas or am I going to get my medicine? All of them sing a sad song. And the sad song is that I'm rolling through an unfriendly world. Rolling through an unfriendly world. God's backdoor divinity came to befriend the friendless. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He came to cheer the cheerless. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He came to save the lost. He came to give light to our darkness. He didn't have to do it, but he did. I know we all got on our Sunday go to meet mass. I know. I got mine on too.
Come on, come on, man.
We got our Sunday go to meet mass on. The Lord told us to come as we are. And I just wonder. I have wondered for a long time if we was to really come as we are without the mask on our face and show what you in really need of. Show the pain. Show the grief. I wonder if then with all of the different order of service change. And will we just have church and minister to one another? If we came as we are,
amen,
without the mask on, and show the pain, show the depression, show the hurt, show the grief, show the sickness. The Lord said, come as you are. A lot of times we don't receive our healing because we're not coming as we are. We're coming as somebody else. We're putting on a mask. That show called The Masked Singer, we the masked Christians. Try to figure out who they is. We the masked Christians. And now we double masked. We got the one mask on, now we got to put on the other mask. We double masked. So we really, you really cannot see what a person is going through. But this is supposed to be the place where you come for your healing. But you cannot be healed if you're not willing to be diagnosed.
Well,
you cannot be healed if you're not willing to be diagnosed. Lord, where are you taking me this morning? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He came our way that we might have life and have more life abundantly. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Don't you hear him speaking as he came through that cave, as he came through the back door, saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what he said when he came through the back door. And that's what he did. He did not have to do that, but he did. From Bethlehem to Jerusalem, from the back door to the front door. And now he speaks from heaven saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Now he's knocking at all the doors. He's knocking at the front door and he's knocking at the back door of your life. For all have gone astray. If God's eye is on all of us back door dwellers, and if you open up and let him come in, he will give you eternal salvation. He'll give you that peace that flows like a river. He'll give you joy everlasting. He'll give you a song to sing and a story to tell. Do you have a song to sing that the angels do not know? Lord, thank you for coming by way of the back door. You said you had to do it. Thank you, Lord, for coming by way of the back door. You said you wanted to do it. Thank you, Lord, for coming by way of the back door. Lord, I know I'm a back door dweller, saved by your grace, saved by your mercy. You did not have to save me, but you did.
Yes, you did.
You did not have to save them, but you did. I'm so glad that you did. Thank you, Lord, for your back door ministry. Thank you, Lord, for coming through the back door. I know you did not have to do it, but you did.
Thank you, Lord.
To God be the glory.